our Father in heaven, the Lord of glory, we want to bring our appreciation to you for this morning, sparing our lives to come to your house to honor you for this season of Easter. Thank you for what you did for us thousands of years ago, that we can think over and that we can gather like this to, in a way, celebrate your resurrection. It's your resurrection that has given us hope. Lord, hope for hereafter. Because we know that our time on this earth is transient. We have not much time to spend here. No matter how long we live, Lord, we thank you for your program of redemption, your plan to save sinners and to take sinners to where you are. Thank you for, after your resurrection, you have gone away to prepare a place for us. And by your word that you have sent to us, and by the power of your spirit, you are preparing your sons and daughters, which we believe we are part, to be made ready for that kingdom. Father, we thank you. We know it's not by power, not by might, but by my spirit, said the Lord. We thank you for the grace that you have given us to recognize your mercy to us and to accept the same, and for the same working in our lives. We want to honor you this morning. Thank you, because it is upon this wonderful program of yours that people of whole, Lord, they were looking to before Calvary. They lived their lives, Lord Jesus, looking for that first scarcity. And after Calvary, we look back to Calvary. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for this Calvary means a lot to us. And we pray, Lord, as we have come before you, Lord Jesus, just like we have always been hearing, each time we gather in your presence for your word to be preached to us, Lord, we are being reminded of your plans, of your program. Out of that place that you are going to prepare for us, our desire, Lord, is that you will work more in us through your word, by your spirit, Lord, to be worthy of that place. You bring us to perfection. Lord, all that you are putting in your program, promises, you are the only one that can bring them to pass. Lord, all we need is your grace to believe and to hold on to you. Father, Lord, once again, we look up unto you today. Lord, as you have blessed us, Lord, in the service yesterday and in the previous services that we have been privileged to partake, Lord, that you once again, Master, you will reflect yourself to us. Lord, in a way that we will be drawn closer to you, in a way that you will be renewed in our hearts. Lord, that you will be fresh in our heart. Lord, that you will renew our experience in you. Gracious Lord, that it will not just be a celebration, it will not just be a gathering, but that specifically you will do something, Lord, in somebody's life, Lord Jesus, so that, Lord, they will be able to refer to you that on that day, Heavenly Father, during one of the meetings, Lord, you did something for me. Throughout the meetings, you did something for me. Let this be our testimonies. Thank you, everlasting Father. We are grateful to you for answers to our prayers concerning those who are pregnant among us. Lord, for the self-delivery you gave to them. Lord, we honor and we adore you. Blessed be thy name. We still commit the remaining to your hand. You that did that, you will do the remaining also. Thank you, Lord. We commit the sick to your hand this morning, remembering our pastor as a contact point, that your grace will come down and turn things around for them, and your name will be glorified. Thank you for your servant that is in the war room. May your grace rest upon him. Make him a channel of blessing to your people. And wherever your people are gathered like this, Master, may you attend to their needs. Lord, visit your people. Prove yourself to be the resurrected Lord. And at the end, all the glory and honor will be yours. For this is our expectation, Lord. In Jesus Christ's name we have prayed. Praise be to God. God bless you. We welcome ourselves to the second day of the Easter meeting.
the Lord, we thank the Lord for yesterday, what He did for us. And we believe the Lord will do greater things for us still, today and tomorrow. God bless you. Just before we sit, a little reminder for the fasting that will take place tomorrow. So, how many of us were here yesterday? We are not here yesterday. You are not here yesterday. All right. So the announcement was made for us to come to church fasting so that we can pray for our pastor who is down in health. So may the Lord give each of us strength and grace. God bless you. All right. Let us sing a little song. Amazing Grace. How sweet the sound.
Amazing Grace. Oh, how sweet the sound. Mercy correct like me. I once was lost, but now I am found. Was blind, but now I see.
By grace, and it's not by might, nor by power. Whatever we are today, the prophet said, it's by the grace of God. Praise be to God. So let's open our Bible to Isaiah chapter 53. Yeah, we brought Sam has traveled to Lagos for a program. As he has announced yesterday. So let's pray for him, for Johnny Messis. He arrived safely. He called and he said greetings to the church. Isaiah chapter 53, from verse 1 to the end. Who has believed our report? And to whom is the hand of the Lord revealed? For this shall grow up before him as a tender plant, and as a root out of the dry ground. He has no form nor comeliness, and when we shall see him, there is no beauty that we should desire him. He is despised and rejected of men, a man of sorrows, and acquainted with grief, and we hid as it were our faces from him. He was despised, and we esteemed him not. Surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows.
Yet we did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord has laid on him the iniquity of us all. He was oppressed and he was afflicted. Yet he opened not his mouth. He is brought as a lamb to the slaughter, and as a sheep before her shearers is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He was taken from prison and from judgment, and who shall declare his generation? For he was cut off out of the land of the living, for the transgression of my people was he stricken. And he made his grave with the wicked, and with the rich in his death, because he has done no violence, neither was any deceit in his mouth. Yet it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He has put him to grief. When thou shalt make his soul an offering for sin, he shall see his seed, he shall prolong his days, and the pleasure of the Lord shall prosper in his hand. He shall see of the travail of his soul, and shall be satisfied. By his knowledge shall my righteous servant justify many, for they shall bear their iniquities. Therefore will I divide him a portion with the great, and he shall divide the spoil with the strong, because he has poured out his soul unto death, and he was numbered with the transgressors, and he bare the sin of many, and made intercession for the transgressors. May the Lord bless the reading of his word to our hearts. God bless you. Please be seated. Once again, we give all thanks and praise to God for what he has done for us, for giving us the privilege of Easter. And the prophet told us that Easter is not a celebration, it's an experience. Easter is supposed to be an experience. It's not a religion. It's supposed to be an experience that each of us has had, that we must have. Praise be to God. Well, I started this sermon in the Sunday school and evening service of the other time I was there, but I intend to continue with it, but as a way of starting all over, just eat a few things from the beginning, so that those who were not here then, you know, can be carried along. Praise be to God. Masterpiece is the title of the sermon. The masterpiece. The prophet got the inspiration of this sermon when he visited the Forest Lawn at the grave of Mrs. McPherson, the founder of the First Square Movement. There he saw the monument of Michelangelo. And the prophet told us that what really caught his attention was what people felt was a flaw on the statue of Michelangelo. The prophet gave us the background that God is in heart. Every true Christian, every believer looks original. Anything that is original. Because God himself is original. Yes. And so, and we have to work from the original. So when we don't have when you don't have original to work with, you don't have a template. So the original forms the template from which we can work. Praise be to God. So Abraham got to this Forest Lawn and he saw this statue that Michelangelo carved. Or a sculptor. He was an artist who got a vision to draw the statute of Moses. He hadn't seen Moses before, but he had a vision in his mind that he was going to, you know, sculpt the statute of Moses. And that is why the prophet said that this, all these artworks and music and this, they come by inspiration. If there is no inspiration, those things cannot be done. So he had the inspiration upon him. So the inspiration drove the vision of Moses. He wanted to sculpt the statue of Moses, and he began to work on it, pecking on the rock with his chisel, with his hammer, with his axe, or whatever the artist used to carve whatever they wanted to. And so he kept working on it. The prophet said it took him a number of years to finally come to where he had the statue of Moses standing before him. He saw the statue of Moses of his mind. And in his mind, when he saw this vision standing before him, the prophet said he was beside himself. He was beside himself to see the vision that was in him. Now the vision of my mind that nobody saw, now he has sculpted it, and now standing before him, he could look at it. And the prophet said he got so beside himself until he took the hammer in his hand. After he has finished the work, perfect as he could be, and he looked at him and said, "Wow, this is real Moses." And the prophet said he took the hammer in his hand and getting beside himself, got closer to the statue and hit it on the right knee. And he said, "Moses, speak." The prophet said, the people said that was the flaw. The people said, "Oh, a man is sculptor. He has destroyed the work he has labored for all this time." The prophet said, "Well, to some people, they might think it was a flaw." He said, "But to me, that made it a masterpiece." He said, "That made that picture the masterpiece." Well, that is a sculptor work that is still yet to be unraveled, isn't it? That one is still covered up. You don't know what is inside. Oh, am I seeing very well? Eh? Is this? Oh, that's it. Sorry. It's just half of it that you're looking at. Yeah. That's the left knee, but it was the right knee. Okay, it's inverted. Oh. Oh, yeah, that's correct. This way. Okay. Yeah. That's the distortion that happens when, you know, pictures are taken. Yeah. You have to look at it from the real, you know. Yeah. That was the right name. Of course, could we see any flaw there? We can't see a flaw here. But there was a flaw there. Can you enlarge it further? The knee. Okay, couldn't be enlarged beyond that. It's okay. Let me just get this out here. The prophet said to me, the flaw was what made it the masterpiece. You see? Now, maybe to the mind that might think different, you might think that spoiled it. No, to me, it made it what it was. Because of after so many years of careful work and toils, and so forth, of making it, his toil had proved not in vain. It was perfect, and that is why he cried out, "Speak," because he had seen before him that they had been able to achieve, to bring to pass the vision that was in his mind. And therefore, under inspiration, he did something out of reason, out of ordinary. He struck it and hold it.
speak. See, he wouldn't have done that if he had thought, but he didn't think. It was inspiration of seeing what he had in his mind, setting their pathway day before him. His toils and wearies and long nights and housed away from the world for days, and maybe eat a sandwich and rub on it and get back. No, that's just not the way it was. You know, he would be thinking, no, I don't want it this way. No, this is the way it's going to be. He will be hugging with himself until he will get what he wanted. All right. Well, that's not the problem. Whether that was a hole, because there was a hole. The prophet said, put his hand there. He said, put his hand. So, you know, but this is just a, this could be a amended, because they might not want it to remain like that. You know, because to them, it was a flaw. It has quite it. That's quite it. Of course, when you say a sculptor put somewhere and you see a hole, there used to be the, I can't remember the name of that warrior at Total Garden Roundabout. What was his name? They used to call him Ogumola, black statue like that. There was a time that the wrist got broken off. You know, when you see it, oh, the wrist is broken off. But it could be a message to somebody. It could be a message, just like the hole in the leg of this statue. That was the Moses statue of Michelangelo. Maybe a modified type. You can imagine how, look at the biabia. Look at the face. Old man, Moses. You look at the scroll by his side. Can you see? Shift it there. Can you see? Can you see the template? The plate. Maybe on which the 12, Ten Commandments was written. Can you see? Where the cursor is pointing to there. You see? Whatever. That just projected something. That was Prophet Moses. This is what he had in his mind, and he projected. And after seeing that, he got beside himself. He saw it as, oh, this is what I had in my mind. And he took his armor and hit it there. And the prophet said, yeah, not that way. Now, it was just to come down to this and rubbing it. Then, when he saw it just perfect, then he saw it in reality. The negative of what was in his mind had become real. He became positive. Therefore, he sprung into him. And he was so real that he must cry out, speak. To me, it was a reflection. It was a compliment to his work, to Brother Abraham. Because he could see from other perspective. He could get another message from it. As a prophet, he could get another message that he could come and preach on the masterpiece. Praise be to God. And the prophet told us that, well, he said, I stood there and I looked at the monument. I thought of the hour that the man must have put in making that. They said how many years it was. It was a reflection to me, to him, because it was a contribution to his great heart, his great work of what he was doing. And when he finally was able to achieve it, it was so great. And the prophet said, now let's turn the page of Michelangelo and close the book. And let's open another book and read of the great sculptor, the Almighty, who before there was a world and before the foundation was laid, he had in his mind that he wanted and what he wanted, and he wanted to make man his own image. He wanted to make something in reality of what was a vision in his thing. The flaw, the significance. In all this, in this age of man, in fact, it is the strike. Praise be to God. And then the prophet continued. Michelangelo was an attribute, his own was the attribute of his thoughts. That statue that we look at was his own. I would take my teeth and then put together with the skill God has given him, put it like this, looking at a human being. But he could not put life in it. That was why he had to speak. He had to smile and say, speak. But he couldn't speak.
because it was a lifeless start. But God is a creator who could bring nothing, something out of nothing. The creator who could speak into existence things that never existed before. Praise be to God. And God went to make man after his image, the great sculptor. He went to work on him. And we notice as God from the materials, the first perhaps was fishes, he began to create. Now, by the spoken word. First he made it, and then from the earth, and many things that he brought. But finally, as he broods of being creator, he wasn't like a man. Now, he sculptor, now that has to make something that has been created to hew an image of eternal things. While he could speak them to existence, he could say, this is what I want, this is what I want, and he will speak and it will be materializing gradually. It might not be immediate. It's what materializing. God was. And when he gets to what God reacts, that was why he made it up. And he put him there. He has to do something. Because God has in mind that we worship him. He has people who have him. He has people that will live with him throughout eternity. In his mind. He had them in his mind. People who will live with him throughout eternity. That will be given power over death. Whose life will no longer be terminated by death. By sickness, by diseases, by affliction, who no longer be subject to affliction that human beings are brought under because of the fall. He had that in his mind, but he had to allow it to come the way it came to manifest all of his attributes. Praise be to God. Being the old sculptor of eternal things, he was the sculptor that could create and bring into existence that which he has in his mind to do. Or otherwise, he can make material what is material, what his attributes desire. And as he began to work upon creeping things like upon the little animals upon the earth, then he began to bring it from that into something else higher. Then finally he brought it into the larger animals such as lion, tiger, bear. Then he brought it into the life of maybe of a monkey, of ape, and so forth. Now, not an evolution, as we think that one came from the apes. And it's unfortunate that the white people we call Africans apes. Even from the evolution of man, their own theory of evolution, where did they come from? Is it only the blood that came from apes according to their evolution theory? All human race, including them, including the white, the theory of evolution, of course, is wrong. Human being never developed from apes because it was a different cell entirely. That is why chimpanzee is different from gorilla. That is why monkey is different. There are different species of monkey. Different species of monkey. You have the big one, you have the small one, the smallest one. There are some of them that look like a man. Some of the monkeys with big white beard like this that will look like a fire. Yeah, if you go to the zoology, you see them there. They are like different species of them. So, it's a different cell. God created them differently. This every seed will bring forth after his own kind. Genesis chapter 1 verse 11. Every seed will bring forth after his kind. So, it's not an evolution. That was a complete creation. The prophet said, God walking in a pattern. Amen. Now, finally, the prophet said God came to a point where he had to bring everything into a perfection by bringing man upon the face of the earth. When he brought man after his own image, I remember we talked about the confusion people usually have, or the argument of the critics, when they will say that the Bible keeps talking forward, keeps talking backward. Bible is repeating itself. He said, and there was a time, God said God made man in his own image, after his likeness, and at a point, he said that there was no man to till the soil. After God said, he made man in his own image. You know? And we read scriptures and the quotes to show, you know, where people are getting confused. It's not. The first man made in Genesis chapter 1 was a spirit man. A spirit man. God is a spirit. God made him like himself in the image of God, which is spirit. And no hands like this. It's a spirit that could not be seen with eyes. That was the first man God made. And God made him a single man, but with both masculine and feminine spirit with him. And the prophet said he was placed in the Garden of Eden not to till the soil, because he had nothing to dig the soil with. As at that time, the prophet said he was in the Garden of Eden just leading the animals, just like the Holy Spirit leads the believer. Now, in chapter 2, God now put him in flesh like the rest of the animals. That was when God now took the dust of the heart and formed his head like this, formed his eyes, formed his ears, his nose, formed his teeth, formed his hands, and the rest of the world. He gave him like the hands of animals, so that he could contact his earthly home. God gave him eyes, he gave him ears, he gave him skin to feel, mouth to taste, nose to smell. To contact his earthly home, the five senses. If it wanted to rain, he would see that the clouds are gathered. If he was cooking in the kitchen and something was burning and he was in the sitting room, he would perceive it. If the vital organ is working, if he was not there, he was hearing noise. He could hear horn. He could hear events going without saying it. He could hear people talking without being there. Somebody that is far away in the U.S. can be talking to you and you are hearing it through your ear. We contact our environment by that. When it is hot, when it is cold, you feel it. If the food is salty or is not enough, if the pepper is too much or is not, you feel it from your through your mouth, isn't it? Yes, taste. So we contact our family home through that. And then God put him in flesh. And he gave him commandments to till the garden and then dress it. He was given a warning of all the trees of the garden, of all these trees, there's one of them you must not eat. God said, you must not touch the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. He went there. The man went on. But at the point, God said that this man, the very purpose that God had in mind will not be accomplished if this man remained alone. What God had to do was to bring this man to a point where we have to strike him. The prophet said, he struck Adam by the side. And then striking Adam by the side, what happens to him? He got Eve from him. He got Eve from him. And when he got it from Adam, what? Then God formed the woman, not create again, because he already created the feminine spirit. God now put the woman also in flesh, and then brought it to Adam, to show to Adam. And when Adam saw it, and said, now this is the flesh of my flesh, and the bone of my bone, she shall be called a woman. Praise be to God. So when that was done, then the story began. God said, now that I've done this, I've placed them upon three moral agents. Upon three moral agents. And what is three moral agency? You have been given the power to choose between right and wrong when they are presented before you. And the prophet said, everybody is placed upon that platform. He said, if God places them alone upon that platform, and he does not place any of us, then it's wrong. And remember, God is infinite. As the prophet told us, that whatever decision God took for the first time, he will always remain with it. Because he's perfect in his decision. The reason we change our decision, the reason we regret our decision, the reason our decision brings us sorrow, heartache, sadness, is because we are not perfect. It's because we do not know, we have, or let me put it this way, we have perhaps used our right to choose between right and wrong, to choose what is wrong. Because we have leaned upon our own understanding. When a man leans on his own understanding, when a woman leans on his own understanding, when a boy or a girl leans on our own understanding, the result will be heartache. As Brother Femi was referring to yesterday, leaning on your own understanding. When you use your own wisdom, your own understanding, to take decisions, when you don't consider what God says about anything, and before you can consider what God says about anything, God has to help you. Look, if God does not help a man, he can't help himself. Why did Adam, who was a perfect man, was Adam perfect? Adam was a perfect man. He was made in the image of God. He was in the original creation. He was not a byproduct. That was why his case looked one kind. He decided to go with his wife in the wrong. Not that he was deceived. Adam was not deceived. The prophet told us that Adam knew the repercussion of the step he was taking. He knew that he was going to bring death to his posterity. That the generations after him will suffer death. Adam knew it. Of course, he was also acting as a type of Christ in one capacity. Because when the bride has faith, Jesus Christ cannot neglect her. Jesus Christ had to come, and that's why we are singing story of love. The gospel, the good news. Praise be to God. So, Adam knew what he was doing. 1 Timothy chapter 2, that's what it tells us. Adam knew what he was doing. He was not deceived. He was not confused about the outcome of the step he was going to take by living with his wife after the wife has introduced it to him. The prophet told us that he committed adultery with the serpent. The serpent was not an animal altogether. Are you following that? It was not altogether an animal. The prophet said, because his seed could mingle with the seed of the woman, and that was led to the birth of Cain. You cannot take gorilla seed and introduce it to a woman, the womb of a woman. It can't develop. It will almost kill the woman because it's a different thing entirely. You know, there is this IVF they do today, that they can take the semen from the man, take the semen from another woman, and introduce it to a separate woman that never knew anything. Science is just confirming God's words. That's what happened in the Garden of Eden. I mean, what are we talking about? In the case of Mary. But that which happened in the Garden of Eden, two men met a woman at different times, and it led to pregnancy. You see, men, yes. The prophet called him a man. That's happened. in the sermon, the greatest battle ever fought. Let me read something to you here. We are grateful to God because today we are not in darkness. We are traveling the right road. See, the prophet was talking about what that serpent was able to do to Eve. How Eve fell for him. Because we are talking now about Eve being separated from Adam. Until Eve came, Adam was living a perfect life. He was living a life, I can see eyes. Eyes are closest. It's not right. Eyes are closing. We came to a church by 9 o'clock, not 8 o'clock, isn't it? So it's expected that every one of us will have had some good sleep. You know, you are not to wake up 5 o'clock that we used to wake. 9 o'clock we come to church. Let's not allow the enemy to cheat us. Because when your eyes are closed, your mind is shut off. Before your eyes are closed, the door of your heart is already closed. And that's why you won't hear anything when your eyes are closed. Because it's your heart first. Because your brain will speak to your heart. So when your heart shuts up, your heart closes. Watch, if somebody cannot sleep, it's because running is in the mind. But if God can touch that heart, and that heart can shut, the heart will close. Praise be to God. Except it's an affliction. And it comes in different ways. So the devil could not work with Adam. Because Adam had been in the Garden of Eden. And that serpent has been there. He's been seeing Adam. Adam walking up and down in the garden. Going to fetch food that will eat. Get herbs that will eat. Get this that will eat. He's been there. Until God decided to put him to sleep and strike him. Smite him rather. And then get got Eve out of him. And then presented Eve to him. Then the serpent began to walk around the place. Because he has gotten a vessel. He didn't make attempt to come to Eve once. He did not make attempt to come to Adam once. But the moment Eve was there, he came around. That serpent. He came around and I began to converse with a woman. See, it is your mind that opens up the door or closes the door and listens to your conscience. It listens to your memory. Your mind listens to your affections. That is what that serpent was doing. He began to talk to Eve, appealing to her affection. And the prophet told us what the serpent was doing. The serpent extrayed the woman to her, extrayed her nakedness, and told her the functions of her body. And told her, this is used for this, this is used for this, this is used for this. Knowledge. And it is that same knowledge that serpent passed to Eve, then that they are teaching them in sex education today. And that's why there is so much perversion today. Things that little girls should not know, they know it. And now you'll be surprised to find small girls and small boys in the toilet doing the unthinkable. Warn your little girls at home, warn your little boys at home. They should not go into the toilet with the opposite sex. One day, evils are happening in those places, in those schools. The teachers cannot monitor them all. Those teachers are overloaded with a lot of work. Those teachers are overloaded. They just want those children away from them, if it's possible. But because they can't help it, it's when they are in the class. Most times I pity those who take their children to daycare where they are not Christians. Where the daycare mistress is not a Christian. They give them sleeping tablet, they will sleep like anything. It was when their parents are about to come to go and wake them up. We had it. No, they are wicked. That's what they do. Those children will cry. They will leave them there and say, "Am I your mother?" Cry if they want to cry. And by the time they know the parents about to come, they go and take the girl, wash it, and begin to play, and the rest of it, the child is building sickness gradually. And you know this later, the child will be sick. We don't know what happened to this child. This and this. This generation of daycare. Well, it's an opportunity for people who want to have daycare to have it. And we can't run away from it because of industrialization. Is that not? The mother is working, the father is working. Where would they kill the baby? You must go to daycare. But look for godly daycares. Look for godly daycares that can take care of your child as if they were the owners of the child. So that is what happened. The serpent began to appeal to his conscience, appeal to her reason. The serpent was working on her reasoning power, was working on her conscience, was working on her emotions, was working on her affections. So that she could see what he was saying. And that was why she fell for it. Now listen. The prophet said, "But when your mind closes itself to these things and let God, the spirit of his work, come in, he blows the rest of the stuff out. Every doubt is gone. Every fear is gone. Every sensation of doubt is gone. Every feeling is gone. There is nothing standing there but the word of God. And Satan cannot battle against that. He can't battle against God's word. No, sir. He cannot battle against it now. We have that. That is true. This battle has ranged since the day of the Garden of Eden. The battle in the human mind. Satan started it. What did he do when he met him? He didn't deny God's word. Satan did not deny God's word outrightly. And his approach was not denying and saying that it's all along. God did not, what God said is not the truth. How did he approach her? He said, "As God said, you should not eat of all the trees here." You know, catching Eve's attention. Very smart animal. Catching Eve's attention. "As God told you not to." That's how the boys will also approach you, guys. Married women. That's how some slick men, smart men, will approach some married women. Do you know some married women fall for married men? It's not only the younger that fall for boys. Some married women fall for other married men. Some married men too fall for other married women when they will display themselves before them. You need to be under the blood. Satan started it. When did he do? What did he do when he met him? He didn't deny God's word, but he whitewashed it. Did God say you should not eat of all the trees that are in this garden? Did God say that? God didn't say that. He said, no, God didn't say that. He said we should eat of all the trees, but of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, we shouldn't eat. She made mistake by answering the animal. She made mistake. She should have resisted them and said, "What are you doing here? You the serpent. Get back to the wilderness. Get back to the bush. And go and fellowship with the rest of your time." That would have been the end of that animal, because that animal could not resist it, because she was still in a perfect state. Though a byproduct. She had the authority that Adam had, because she was in Adam. She said that until she reasoned. Then she could not use her power. The power she had. Because she was taken from Adam. Everything that Adam had, she had. And I want you to watch what I'm saying. Because it's a type of something else. What did he do? Met him. What was it? He stopped up little channels there somewhere. And he said, "But surely God
You see? Surely God, all these things He promised. He knew the world was right, but He knew He couldn't just come right out and blast it out like that. He sugarcoated it. Like Mama used to. All right, let me leave that one. Well, that is the way it is, friends. Satan tries to be hypocritical about it. He tries to show you something better, an easier way, a more sensible plan. But there is no more sensible plan than that God laid down at the beginning. His word. Hold that word. Get the grip of it. Let it get a grip on you. Stay there with it. That is the thing. The boy can come and tell you a whole lot of things, copy you, and tell you are, in fact, in this school, there is no other beautiful girl than you. You are the most beautiful girl. You wonder, you'll be laughing. You'll be laughing. You are the most beautiful girl in this campus. I mean, on this campus. I have been watching all the girls since I've been here. I've never seen one of them that is more beautiful than you. More beautiful than that. It's coming gradually. It's coming gradually. A girl too can approach a boy and tell him. I said that of all the boys I've been studying in this school, I see that you are very gentle. You are quiet. You are serious minded. And that is the kind of a man that I like to associate with. He's already making a way. We are telling you how Satan comes. He comes by strategy. He plans it. A boy cannot just approach the girl and say, I want to have sex with you. The girl will squeeze her face at the boy and spit at his face. Because that sounds very horrible to hear. There is none of our brothers and sisters here that approach your wife and that's what you presented to her. Was that what you presented? No. That will be involved in it later. But it's a silent part of it. The devil approaches human's mind. He tries to sway it. He tries to manipulate it with reasoning, with imagination, with affection, with the rest of it. And that's how he got hit. And the problem is that he has been dealing with human beings for that number of years. For 6,000 years, he has been dealing with human beings. And there is no man that is a match to him. The problem is that the Holy Ghost is more than a match to him. Praise be to God. Now, God, when he discovered that this is his first couple have sinned, because when Eve agreed to the proposition of the serpent, she did what was wrong. And she went back to Adam to tell Adam and said, look, I found a new light. You are still in the darkness. Look at you. This is what I found, this is what I found, this is what I found. Adam knew in his mother and said that, wow, this girl, this thing is wrong. But to leave this woman to perish like that, Adam said, Lila, I will not allow it. I would rather, go together with her. Then he fell with her to do what God had not permitted them to do. That led to the battle of Cain and Abel. The serpent father Cain. Adam fathered Abel. Praise be to God. Is that clear? Now, when this happened, the prophet told us that God discovered that man could not keep covenant, because the covenant upon which God placed them was, if you do this upon condition, it was a conditional covenant. If you do this, I will also do this. If you don't do this, I will not do this. If you obey my instructions, I will do this. It was conditional. And when God discovered this happened, well, he decided to change the story. He wiped away the old generation during the antediluvian. And after he did that, they introduced a new covenant. And the covenant he introduced was an unconditional covenant. Praise be to God. And in Genesis, reading from unconditional covenant that God made with the people, preached in 1854, August 14.
The prophet said in paragraph 27, the unconditional covenant that God made with the people, preached in 1954, August 14, paragraph 27. And in Genesis, we find a man by the name of Abraham. The father's name was Terah. The prophet said, forgot his father's name. That came down probably from Babylon, an idol worshiper. Came down in the valleys of Shinar, dwelt in the land of Chadi, the city of God. He was married to his half sister. How many of us know that Abraham married his half sister? Yeah. Married his half sister. Which means if Abraham went to school and Sarah went to school, they will all be answering Terah. It will be Abraham Terah. Then it will be Sarah Terah. But from different mother. Not the same mother. But from different mother. The prophet told us that. And the Bible also confirms that. From different mother. So the mother of Abraham married Father Terah. The mother of Sarah married Father Terah. So they were siblings, half brother, half sister, but they had the same father. They could marry then, but it's not permitted again. Okay? Abraham married his half sister Sarah, and as they came down in the land, and all the people there were everywhere, Abraham wasn't any better than anyone else. That's what we must bear in mind. Abraham was not a saint when God called him. You can hear when the prophet said that probably an idol worshiper. You get it? Then if you now go back to the lane, if you go back, after the antediluvian, that is from Adam up to the destruction of the flood. After this, we have Noah, isn't it? Then to Abraham. Abi? Noah found favor with God. Is that not? And then all down like that to Abraham. People have lost track of God. Then Abraham was the one that God found, and he called out of all the people on the face of the earth. And the prophet said, Abi was an idol worshiper by that time, from in the city of God. Because his name was in the Lamb's Book of Life. And God was going to use him. As we continue. Alright? Abraham wasn't any better than anyone else, but God, by sovereign grace and election, called Abraham according to election. That is it. No, nothing said that Abraham was ever better. Was any better. Don't ever say he was a believer in the beginning. He was not a believer in the beginning. But God, with his unmerited grace, Abraham was saved. And not only was he saved, but when God called Abraham, he saved him and gave him his covenant unconditionally. I have done it. You have nothing to do in this. You are not going to contribute to redemption. It's my responsibility. It's my work. All you need to do is to accept it. That's it. All you need to do is to accept my work of redemption, my work of salvation, my work of healing. The price I have paid. All you have to do is to accept it and appropriate it. When you do that, you be a partaker of my grace. Abraham, no. Unconditional. Now, he didn't say Abraham now. If you do a certain thing, he said, I have. Ye shall
I have.
Notice it.
You will come to me in an old age, in peace, right now.
You see?
70 something years before it happened, God said, I have already saved you. And not only you, but your seed after you. When you get to thinking of that, without any merit, without anything, God's covenant was unconditional to Abraham. God told him he saved him, and not only Abraham, but the seed also. You see? And Abraham being 75 years old, and Sarah 65 years old, you know, past menopause, lived with her since she was a young lady. They were married, and they were not fertile. And God told Abraham that you are going to have a child by Sarah, the impossible. And Abraham believed God. No matter how impossible it seemed, he believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness. Unconditional covenant. God started unconditional covenant upon Abraham. Praise be to God. And then the prophet then told us that with this introduction of this new covenant, man had nothing again to do into it. God is not going to say, if you don't like it to Adam, because you have done this one, you will die. Because you do this one, you will do it. This will happen. The prophet said no. But now to Abraham, God said he has already done it. But we go over Luke saying, okay, let me read further. What Abraham said. Now let me read paragraph 76 of the same psalm. The prophet said, and there Abraham, God told him not to leave Palestine. He did anyhow, backsliding. Any man that does what God tells him not to do is backsliding. Not only that, but he was setting out there lying. And any man would do his wife that way. You know what he did? He didn't surrender his wife to the king. He's my sister. I mean, that is my sister. And the woman also said that it's my brother. You know, that was half truth. Because he was truly his sister. And she was truly his sister, and he was truly a brother. But now, the relationship between the two of them is that they were husband and wife. Now the king was asking, what is the relationship between the two of you? He was trying to save his own face. Because this king, they don't know God, they might kill me. Because of you. You know? So, he had to save his face. The prophet said, not only that, who will do his wife that way, turn her over to some other man to save his own neck. Lying, backsliding. And God said, I won't hear your prayer, but that's my prophet. Did you see that? I can see a lot of people going out. May God help us. Abraham lied. He backslided. And God told King Abimelech that I will not hear your prayer until this backsliding man, this lying man, pray for you. Unconditional covenant. But remember, God did not leave Abraham like that, too. He repented. He repented. Now, I have a reason why I'm reading it. I will hear your prayer, but my prophet. That was Abraham. I will hear him. Go, let him pray for you. If you don't, everything is going to die. Why? God made his promise unconditional to Abraham. Don't give permission to sin. That's not giving you permission to sin. Because God gave covenant unconditionally that you don't have anything to do in it. And you now say, now remember that. But what I am trying to get is the fear knock out of you. You are always scared about something. Don't be scared. God has promised. God has got to do it if you believe it. If you are the seed of Abraham. Someone said to me, like my Baptist friend used to say, what difference does he make? The one that went up into eternal security. They said, why? Don't make any difference to me. I am saved. Glory to God. I can do what I want to.
That just shows you are not saved. That's right. That is right. If you are saved, you don't want to do things that are wrong. You don't want to just say that. Allah, the promise is we are. It's an unconditional covenant that we are going to be saved. We are saved. He has already saved us. And so, what depends on this? We can continue to live the way we want to live. The prophet said, "It is a proof that you are not saved, because what are you saved from? You are saved from sin. Yes. So if you are saved from sin, you can no longer be living in sin and still be claiming to be saved." Yeah, it is the faithfulness of God that will bring his promise to pass when somebody accepts it.
Praise be to God.
And then we see that when God establishes covenant unconditionally to Abraham, then God began the rebuilding of the masterpiece again. God now says, now I'm going to start my masterpiece. Praise be to God. But the great sculptor, when he saw the fall of his family, the masterpiece, that was Adam and his wife in the Garden of Eden, he wasn't willing to just leave it lay there, face down and ruin. He went to work immediately to build it up again. He wasn't willing that he should perish, lay there like that all the time, because he is God and he will not be defeated. He had a purpose in his mind. Now remember, God allowed the fall for the purpose of the rest of his attributes to be manifested. Attribute as a savior, to save them from sin. If God didn't permit sin to happen, he would not be known as a savior, to deliver from sin. And then through sin, sickness came in. And if there was no sickness, then his attribute as a healer will not be known. And so many other things that are associated with unbelief, we see that human beings are suffering from today. I am the Lord, the Jehovah Jireh, the seven compound names of Jehovah. Right from the Old Testament, they have been in effect. The seven compound names of Jehovah. The prophet told us that those seven compound names of Jehovah, God has been relating with man from Eden back to Eden. So those seven names of Jehovah have been enjoyed by people right from Genesis up until we go to eternity. Praise be to God. And what are the seven names of Jehovah? Jehovah Tsidkenu, the Lord our righteousness. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. You can even see that in Isaiah here, he said, by whose stripes you are healed. So healing in the Old Testament, because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Remember the argument that led to this picture being photographed? You remember that? It was an argument that Dr. Best put forward, was saying there was no divine healing. And when he said there was no divine healing, he was calling Abraham divine healer. Abraham said, I'm not a divine healer. Just like you don't want to be called divine savior because you preach salvation. So he organized a debate. He wanted Brother Abraham to go. Brother Abraham said, I don't argue. Then Dr. Boswell said, well, don't worry, Brother Abraham, I will take it up. Brother Abraham said, if you are going to promise him that you will not argue, because Christians don't argue. Brother Abraham Boswell promised Brother Abraham that he won't argue. And the first question that Brother Boswell posed to Dr. Best, a theologian, Dr. Best, PhD in theology, in seminary, they are the one that twist the scripture. They are the one that gave wrong interpretation of the scripture. Look at a man that is referred among his people, doctor of theology, of seminary, doctor of a Bible. And that's what theology means. That they have the right, they are the only one that have the right to interpret scripture. That's what they tell them. You cannot see divine healing in the Bible. He said, there's no divine healing. And then Dr. Best posed a question to him. Very simple question. And what was the question? That does the redemptive name, that do all the redemptive names of Jehovah apply to Jesus? He couldn't answer it.
Because he knew that if you answer it, the redemptive means of Jesus started operating right from the Old Testament. Were there no healings in the Old Testament? Were there no resurrection of the dead? Were there no deliverance in the Old Testament? So, on and on like that, he could not answer it. He knew that he would shoot himself on the feet. He said, I don't know.
Brother Bosso said, well, that's the first question.
And it's a chain. If you have to answer this one before I can present the other one. Because if you can't answer this, you can't answer the next one. He got angry. To the point that he beat somebody's hair.
A theologian. He was a reverend pastor in his church. He was
not converted. He was so angry until he had to go to somebody's hair and bite it. In anger.
I have the magazine at home. Very large one. Praise be to God. What are we talking?
He wants to reflect his attributes. Thank you. Jehovah Shammah.
Jehovah Shalom, the Lord our peace. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord our provider. Jehovah Roe, the Lord our shepherd. Oluwa ni Olusoagun ton mi. Emi ki yo se alaini. Jehovah Rapha, the Lord our healer. Jehovah Nissi, the Lord our banner, our refuge, our Shama. The Lord is present. The present in time of trouble. The Lord is there. Jehovah Sidekenu, the Lord our righteousness.
Those are the seven compounds name of Jehovah, which he wants to reflect. And much more, much more. So without the fall, that is not possible. So he permitted that to happen. Praise be to God. Now he's now building the another masterpiece. Now on a covenant of uncontrollability. Now I have already done it. I've already perfected my masterpiece. I'm going to build it. This is going to happen. Nothing is going to cause it again.
Praise be to God.
So, Imam noticed, but this great sculptor, when he sees the fall of the family, the masterpiece, he wasn't willing to let it lay there.
Yeah.
He cannot be defeated.
Yes.
So he went to work immediately and began to rebuild again onto his own image.
Amen.
Now, we find that the antediluvian war came along, and we have talked about that. God, the creator, the sculptor, seeing that man could not keep a covenant, he just can't do it. There's just no way at all. Because man cannot, there's no way man could keep God's covenant. But God seeing that, he had to come in on his own.
I said, well, the best thing for my program to run, I have to place it unconditional. It's no longer going to be conditional. It has to be unconditional. So, and the prophet brought the case of a woman here who was looking at her life. Well, I think you have to understand what the prophet is saying here. So, on the interview a few moments ago, I was speaking to a person in the room that's present now. Say, but Brother Abraham, I have so many things that I know that are wrong. A godly little woman. I said, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what you desire. It's just what your desire is and what you are trying to do. Now, you will know that the prophet said, don't look at yourself. Your human weakness. Because if you look at it, don't look at your human weaknesses. Look at the desires of your heart. What are you trying to do? Those two things. If what she's trying to do, she's trying to do what is wrong, contrary to God's word. If her desires are running contrary to God's word, Abraham has presented these two things to her. These are the two things you are going to use to judge yourself. If your desires are right in line with God's word, and what you are doing, because your desire will drive what you are doing. So what are you doing? The works of your hand. Are they sinful works? Are they unrighteous works? If they are not sinful works, if they are not righteous, the prophet said, look away from them. If your desires are pure, they are right in God's word. Okay? And what you are doing, you are not the works of the flesh in Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 to 21, are not reflecting in your life.
if those things are not reflecting in your life, then don't look at yourself. If your desires are to please God, your desires are righteous, you don't have grudges with somebody, you don't have malice with somebody, you don't have anger against somebody, you don't, what do you call it now? Yeah, malice, I think I mentioned that. All sort of things. You don't back people, you don't say evil things about people. When you have things against people, you meet them, you discuss it, and you clear your way. The devil cannot have a finger in your life to place. But where the devil can have a place is when these things are present. So if these things are present, you are lusting after the things of the world, then look at your life. But if those things are not there, and you find that your desire is just to please God, not to please yourself, you are not selfish, you are not self-centered. And all that we are saying here, they also determine, they are determined by the discernment you have of yourself. And if you don't have discernment of yourself to be able to place yourself in the pages of the Bible, to give yourself 100% judgment in the light of God's word, you will judge yourself wrong. Because no man is going to judge you, you have to judge yourself. And I want to tell you that as many of us as are confessed that we are filled with the Holy Spirit, it's because you have judged yourself in the light of God's word. Yeah, you have said that I am qualified by my own estimate in the light of God's word. That's what you have done. You have looked at God's word and you have looked at your life and said, my life copes with God's word. That's what you have done. To say you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you say, my life copes with God's word. That's the meaning. And that's why the prophet says, look at your life. So when you look at your desires, you look at what you are trying to do, what you are doing. If they are in line with God's word, if every time you hear someone, the word of God gives you pass mark, the word of God gives you pass mark, and you can raise your hand and say, Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. Lord, I thank you. The prophet says, don't look at your weaknesses. Weaknesses in what form? All human beings have weaknesses. I'm not saying sin. You get it? I'm not saying sin. Somebody can hit more than I can hit. Somebody can do. I mean, you should understand what I mean by human weaknesses. So, looking at human weaknesses, you cannot use that one to judge. The prophet said, don't look at yourself. Look at your desires. Look at what you are doing. So, but look, sister, you don't look at yourself. It's just what your desire is and what you are trying to do. And if you really love the Lord, you try to serve Him with all your heart, and then all your mistakes are hidden in the blood of the Lord Jesus. See? He made a way. No, most times, people talk about mistake. They try to talk about mistake and bring mistake under Galatians chapter 5. The works of the flesh. Please, sorry, display Galatians. I will tell you what I mean by that. Yeah. Okay, we still have some few minutes. I know this is a very lengthy sermon, we can't finish it. Okay. Now the works of the flesh are manifest. Which are these? Let me just dwell with the two, the first two, adultery and fornication. What's adultery? Adultery, a woman or a man commits adultery. A man commits adultery because he's married. Because he's married, he has a living wife. A woman commits adultery because she has a living husband. Or she's married. Let's say she's married. Because it becomes unclean if, for instance, if a woman is a widow, and she's, if a man is a widower, and is living immoral life, is this sinful? Yes, it's an immoral living. It comes either under adultery or fornication. And depending on who is committing it with, or who she is committing it with, in either way, it could be a fornication for this, it could be adultery for this. You get it? It could be adultery for this, it could be fornication for this.
Adultery is under Galatians chapter 5, works of flesh. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these. Some people commit adultery, some commit fornication. They say it's a mistake. That's what I'm saying. Some will bring mistake under Galatians chapter 5. There is need for deliverance here. There is need to be born again here. You can't cope. That's not a mistake. Mistakes are things you don't plan to do. I mean, we are human beings, we all know what mistake is. But when people want to hide sin, that's when they say, it's a mistake. Somebody could be talking, could be a slip of tongue, not that somebody intended lying. You know, you are talking to somebody, somebody asks you and say, were you there yesterday? Oh, I was not there yesterday. You didn't think very well. So, maybe later you now realize that, and I was there. Oh, I didn't think very well. This brother said, was I there? Are you getting me now? You say, oh God, have mercy upon me. And if you get the brother to tell him, and say, oh, sorry, I thought I wasn't there. I was there yesterday. That cannot be written against. That's a mistake. You did not, you are not, it's not what you plan to do. But there are some people that will plan life and say that if they ask me, I will say no. If they ask me, I will say no. And some that they already made lies in their mouth. When you ask them this and this and this, they will tell you that it's white, it's not black. Conversion is needed for such. Praise be to God. So, mistakes that the prophet talks about there are things that, you know, the God also needs to deal in the definition of sin. Knows is not sin. You get it? He knows it's not sin that he can hold against you. And that is why our mistakes, he pleases that. Sins of ignorance, he pleases. So it is not something that somebody is just planning. Somebody that commits adultery, his five senses are working. The five senses of the spirit are working. His affection have been perverted. Yeah, his affection has been perverted. His conscience has been affected. His reasoning, all those five senses of the spirit, they are active. The senses of his body too, he knows what he's doing. What he's going to do, he will have to remove his clothes, plan to meet in a certain place. It's a planting. It's a planting. It's not something that somebody will come and bring that one under, bring mistake under this one. Oh, it's not a mistake. May the Lord be our help. So he began now taking man from his covenant of saying that I will. If you will, I will. And then he began with man called Abraham. To Abraham a covenant unconditionally. Every time he will start a masterpiece, Satan will get in because the war. When he started with Abraham, he said, I have already done it. Now this is unconditionally. You see, if you will, I will, but I have already done it. If you will, I will. No longer if you don't, you cannot do this. It is now you do it or you don't do this. I have sworn by myself. And I will not change my mind. This is what I'm going to do. That was why you saw God dealing with the children of Israel after he has allowed the nations to kill them because of their sins, which he promised that he will do that to them. That if they do what is wrong, if they go after the manner of the lives of these nations who he has driven from for them to give them the land, he said he will do worse to them than he did to those nations. And each children of Israel will not listen. They will do worse. Then God will now bring other nations to come and afflict them. To come and afflict them. And by the time they cry to God again, God will send another deliverer. He will answer them. Because it's unconditional covenant. He's gracious to them. Amen. So, if you will, I will, but I have already done it. Now, if the sculptor is determined to have this masterpiece, he is determined. So it's no longer whether you do it or you don't do it. I have already sworn by myself that I am going to do it. And that is the security of the believer.
God said, I have already sworn by myself that in blessing I will bless you.
And in multiplying I will multiply the seed at the stand of decision.
And your seed shall possess the gates
of the enemies.
Is a promise. Is a covenant of God. God swore by it.
And he swore to it that he will do it.
So he went on. And the prophet told us that God started through Abraham to build another masterpiece. So what God did was that Father Abraham was the man God chose by election. And then from Abraham, Isaac came. From Isaac, Jacob. From Jacob, Joseph. And the prophet said, God usually every statute is placed upon a platform, a foundation. And that God, this new masterpiece that God is building, he is building it upon four foundations. Foundation of Abraham, of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph. He built it on four. And the first of them was Abraham, faith.
You said you have adjusted the something. Let's see whether it will be all right for us to see.
In every statute that the artist, thank you, every statute that the artist,
you know,
would draw, they don't place them just on the floor, on the ordinary floor. They usually have platforms. And we call it foundation. So that it will rise above the ordinary floor and people can see it.
And the prophet said, God has four foundations upon which is building this masterpiece. And the first foundation was Abraham, which is faith. Praise be to God. All right.
The prophet says, now watch every masterpiece is put on a foundation, a sculptor. Angelo's monument of Moses is on a 4-foot piece of marble. That's the height.
4-foot piece of marble. The height of this is 4 feet of marble.
But the masterpiece that God is building is placing upon four foundations.
On Abraham, well, I just have to conceptualize it this way. But of course, four.
He's got a foundation. So God is preparing this masterpiece. He put it on the foundation of the patriarchs.
Four patriarchs. Are you getting me now? Four patriarchs. And because we know there are other 12 patriarchs. The first 12 patriarchs, Joseph was one of the 12 patriarchs. From Jacob, the 12 sons of Jacob. We refer to them as the 12 patriarchs. Because if you go to the sermon, the future of home, you will see the prophet talking about, and then in Revelation talking about the future home, you will see the prophet talking about the 12 disciples of Jesus, the 12 foundations are 12 gates. That the 12 foundations are the 12 patriarchs. And the 12 gates are the 12 disciples of Jesus Christ. So, but here, in building this masterpiece, God is placing the masterpiece upon four foundations. The first of the foundation is Abraham, which is faith. Praise be to God.
Then we want to look at the significance of these platforms. Why are they like this?
What is the benefit of this? Foundations to you.
Why will God build the masterpiece upon these four foundations? Why not on one? Why not on two? Why not on three? Why on the four? The prophet said the reason he started to be the last one has to be perfection, which is Joseph, is because the foundation must also be perfect. Must also be a masterpiece rather. That the foundation will also be a masterpiece. Now the first foundation is what? Is faith. Abraham. Abraham believed God. His faith. And that is why you will notice that in every foundation, faith.
Of course, if you look at the foundation of the statue of the perfect man, which is also the foundation of the seven church ages, you will see that his faith. Can you look at it there? That chart, the statue of a perfect man,
is faith.
Praise be to God. Let us read from the statue of a perfect man, paragraph 102. Notice you must be born again. And when you are born again, you can't be born again without having faith. That is right. So you see, on my chart here, that chart, I got the very foundation. Faith is the foundation of all of it. Just like it's the foundation here of the masterpiece. It's the first of the foundation. Faith is so important. It is the foundation of all of it. For without faith, it is impossible to please God. He that cometh to God must believe that he is, and is the rewarder of those that diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you are skeptic of the Bible, when you are skeptic of the word being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. So it's faith. That's why the Bible says, they that come to God must believe that God exists. That there is God. Because if you don't believe that there is God, then you will live any kind of life. And you will feel that you are not responsible to anybody. Anybody who feels that he's not responsible to God, that there's no God, he won't accept judgment. When you are talking to him that there's judgment, that they tell you that God, sit down. There's no God, so there's no judgment. That's why people live reckless lives. If you ask them, they are afraid to tell you that, well, I'm a free thinker. I just think what I like to think about. What I don't want to hear, I don't think about it. I don't accept any other thing. It's what I like to think about, what I like to accept. That's what I... Go ahead. Now you put yourself here. The prophet said, death is not the bad thing. He said, but after death is the next thing that human being must think about. I learned of a neighbor of ours who died there, just towards the, I don't know whether the Gias will notice that man, just about the boundary of Temidire and Owala. We just heard about him. Now I was just thinking about it and saying, now that man is dead.
What if now he knows where he is? He's somewhere. Now he's somewhere now. And he cannot be helped any longer.
The number of years he has lived on the face of that, he will give account to God. The message of his day, does he know anything about it?
One way or the other, some of them might have heard about it, but they won't accept it.
And that would be a judgment to them.
So, the state he is now, whether he suffered on the happy earth or before he died, that doesn't concern God. It is his relationship with God's word while he was there that matters to God. Now he's gone. So I was just thinking about it now, what's the state of that man now?
Will you have been wishing that he's given another opportunity to come to the face of the earth? Which that opportunity is not there. The prophet said we can only be mortal once. Mortal. You know what that mortal means? Human being subject to death. With mortal body. Body that can die. And that's why this body cannot inherit eternal life. That is why in the resurrection, we that are still alive will be changed. Will be changed in the twinkling of one heart. Will be changed to a glorified body. Because this mortal body cannot inherit mortality. It must be changed from mortal to immortality. by the supernatural hand of God. And what does that is the Holy Spirit in the soul of a man. Now, what does the transformation, the changing? Praise be to God. So God placed, so faith is important in working with God. Without faith, a man cannot please God. And when we say faith, we are talking about revelation of God's will. Revelation of his will. Now, when Abraham, when God called Abraham to leave his father, his land, remember very well that Abraham wasn't, he had access to landed properties of his father. The properties, whatever property the father had, he had access to it. But God told him to leave it and go to the land that he will show him. That he will show him. Abraham has not seen where he was going. Then you can understand the reason why Abraham is the foundation here. That people who will walk with God must see the unseen. Not with the two eyes, but with the spiritual eye, which we call revelation. To be able to walk with God, to be able to do things that are pleasing unto God, then it has to, God has to reveal it to you. And that's why it's by election. It's by calling. When you are called, when you are chosen, it is compulsory. It is an unconditional covenant of God to give you the revelation. Praise be to God. It is God's job. If you are called, if you are chosen of God, revelation cannot elude you. Revelation will not be a casting to you. Because without it, you can't work with God. Without it, you can't please God. Praise be to God. And we saw Father Abraham. So we see it is so important that it is the foundation of the stature of a perfect man. And you know we call it the perfect man. Is that not? That's even the masterpiece itself. Because Christ is coming to cap it. That becomes a masterpiece. In fact, that is the bride. You get it? That Jesus Christ now is the one that God is working to produce as the masterpiece upon which this foundation we are talking about is placed. The foundation of Abraham, the of Isaac, of Jacob, and of Joseph. And this perfection that is coming in Jesus, this masterpiece that is coming in Jesus Christ, and is coming on top of that perfection. And when it comes on that, then this imperfection has been reflected by the prophets of old. By their lives. They lived their life. They prophesied about him. They acted his part. They acted a part of him in their time to reflect that this one was coming. So when he came, he was the perfection of all of them. That's why the prophet called him the God prophet. The prophets were all the prophets had flaws. Moses had anger. And that was made him not to enter the promised land. Because he by anger struck the stone twice when he was supposed to speak to the stone the second time. He didn't remember. And God said, okay, you have honored yourself. You did not honor me. Come to one side. Go to that mountain. Look at it. You will not reach there. Though we know in Matthew chapter 17 on Mount Transfiguration, together with Elijah, he was there. You get it. But physically, as a physical human being, God said, no, I will give you that punishment. He went to pray to God three times. The third time, God told him, don't talk to me about this matter again. God is a God of principle. God is no respecter of persons. And when we understand that, we stay in our position. We stay where God puts us. We stay in our offices. We stay with the gifts God has given us. We operate within the capacity. So that is perfection, and the foundation of it is to be born again. Faith. The problem is you cannot be born again without having that faith. Praise be to God. So he was, he that cometh to God must believe that he is and is the reward of those who diligently seek him. See, he must be. And when you are skeptic of the Bible, you are skeptic of the word of God being right, you just might as well stay back until first you believe it. What is saying? Unbelief.
There are only two elements that controls the human being. That is either doubt or faith. One or the other.
You see?
You are possessed of one that dominates your life. Just depend on how much faith you have, how high you can rise. Much faith you have depends on how much of God's blessings you can enjoy. Yes, the faith is the key. Faith is the key. Just like Second Kings, where Prophet Elisha told the king to open the window and strike as many times as possible. And he carried his arrow. He struck the first time. He struck the second time. He struck the third time. And he stopped. And the prophet was wrought with him and told him, what is wrong with you? You won't have more than 3 victories. He said, you will have been striking about 3 times. You will have had more than. The more faith we have in Jehovah, the more of the blessings we will enjoy. And if you go and read that sermon, The Arrow of God's Deliverance, you will see certain things that the prophet said there. That we determine, most times we determine the amount of blessings that come to us. Isn't it? Yes. The prophet said, if you go and read it, in another part of that, they were asked, and then in another sermon, making the valley full of ditches. Combining that one with making the valley full of ditches. The prophet said, when these kings were going to a battle, no water. Then Jehoshaphat said, is there no prophet that we can inquire from? And they went to Prophet Elisha. By everything, he got inspiration and he told them that they should go and dig ditches. That they will not see rain, they will not see cloud, but the ditches will be filled with water. And when the prophet was speaking, the prophet said, the depth of ditches that they dig will determine the amount of water that will be retained. The prophet said, the one that will ditch 1 foot, that will dig ditches, that is a ditch that is not more than, that is not deeper than this. From this floor here, that's the amount of water that will be there. But the one that we dig 20 feet, we have volume of water more 20 times than this one has. But first, it has got to be faith. Let me stay on that foundation for a while. Now, faith is what you must believe. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is you already. It is you already have it when you have faith, because it is revealing you. What you do, your actions, your reactions, your responses, your behavior, your this reflect your faith. Reflect your faith. The prophet preaches on and the title "Works is faith expressed." Your work will express your faith. The work that we do expresses the faith that we have. That's an expression. And so, if your faith, if you don't have faith in God, what you do will be things that are not in line with faith. Praise be to God. But it is, faith is the substance of things hoped for. You see, the evidence, what is it? What kind of an evidence? A holy evidence. Praise be to God. So, Abraham is the foundation that the masterpiece is built on. Faith. It is impossible for a man to come to God without that faith. You must take God at his word. Anything God says, just say amen. You don't need to understand it. We are not called to understand God's word. If Abraham tried to seek to understand what God was saying, reasoning will come in. Like we tell you that, come on, I should leave this place and go to a place that I have not seen. Have not seen it. He didn't remember. Faith goes beyond reasoning. Revelation goes beyond reasoning. That was why they never had the man to go back to where they came from. According to Hebrews chapter 11. Faith. Then love, which is Isaac. It is by God's love that he planned our redemption. Love divine, not filial love. Agape love. The love of God that brought Jesus Christ down from heaven to come and enter into flesh that is subject to sickness and diseases and afflictions. The prophet told us that it's that love that brought him down to come and wear this kind of flesh we wear, no spoken word, but subject to death and afflictions, but not subject to corruption. Because there's a scripture that says that you will not suffer, you only want to see corruption. You will not leave my soul in hell. And that's why he didn't spend up to 3 days, 372 hours, because he was crucified in the afternoon. He only spent the whole of Saturday, like today, 24 hours, plus part of the few hours from Friday, and then a short while Monday morning, from 12 a.m. to about 5, thereabouts, 4, 5, had it together. It's not even up to 42 hours that he spent in the grave, but as in days, Friday, Saturday, Sunday. Do you understand? 3 days, not hours. Friday, Saturday, Sunday, period. 3 days. But it has to be that, because it must not, the scripture cannot be broken. The scripture cannot be broken. God is smarter than anybody. And the song they used to sing that is there, Ojo Meta, Nanti Ikoja, is contrary. Ojo Meta, Nanti Ikoja, the 3 days did not exceed. Is that not the song?
Ojo Meta, Nanti Ikoja, Oji Lekuro Lungo.
Before the 3 days, Ojiji. That's contrary to the scripture. Amen. Then grace. Grace. We are saved by grace. The life of Jacob was purely grace. And that speaks to every sinner that the grace of God is available as long as the person is ready to repent. A repentant sinner, God will save. It is by grace. And Jacob's life, if not grace, Jacob was lost. Because look at his life. He supplanted his brother. He was smarter than the brother. Got the bad from him. Though the brother didn't care about it according to the scripture. He didn't care about it. He despised it. He despised it. And it's because God's promises must come to pass too. He must despise it because the younger, the elder must serve the younger. Say Jacob, no sobe. Along no sobe. And for it to come to pass, God raised the mother up to be a helper of destiny to him. It was the mother that called his attention when the father said, Esau, go and get me venison. The mother said, your father said, Esau, go to the... It was the mother that was the helper of destiny to fulfill the destiny of God in his life. And then, by the time he finished preparing the animal, the mother said, go and give the brother. Jacob said, wait, my father is smart. He will smell me. And then, if he smells me and find out that I'm Jacob, he will curse me. The mother said, let the curse be upon my head. The mother said, go and bring the Jesus clothes. I used it to wrap him. He had an helper of destiny. We all need that. We all need helpers of destiny to fulfill God's program for our lives. Then the mother led him there, put confidence in his mind. Don't be afraid. Just go there, talk. And God also made it possible. The man was blind. That's number one. He became blind. He could not see. Because if he was not blind, their manipulation won't work. Because he will see and say, is this what I sent? You are Jacob. I should be tuning here. But God did it in a way that the man was blind. So at the end of the day, not only that, when Jacob finally came with the brother's clothes, His voice. The father detected his voice, but he couldn't do anything about it. He said the voice of Jacob, but the body of Esau. Nevertheless, give me the benediction. The word of God must prevail. The word of God must prevail. That is the side I look at that. I look at it from that perspective. To let you see that anything your Lord about you saw. Covenant here, you can't change it. He said, I have sworn by myself. I will do it. Of course, we know he's a supplanter. So by his own activities, the Bible presents him as a supplanter. And grace worked for him in every aspect of his life. Amen. Grace. Without grace, you cannot be what you are today. Without grace, you can't have what you have today. Because a man can have nothing. Except it is given from heaven. Display John 3:27. Whatever you have, whatever thing you acquire, whatever knowledge you have, whatever understanding you have, whatever revelation of God's word you have, whatever material things you have, every other thing is given to you by God. You can't have it outside of God. And that is why you are built for what God has ordained you to achieve, to accomplish in his program. John answered and said, a man can receive nothing except it be given him from where? From heaven. If you pursue anything, you don't get it, it's because it's not given you from heaven. Are you getting that? So don't feel bad about it. But keep pursuing it until you get it. But when you eventually don't get it, it means that it's not given to you. So somebody has done WAEC. My wife did WAEC how many times? Sorry. About 7 times. Yes. She did work, but somebody will do it twice and say that I'm tired. And the person resigns to first day to school start, not pass and every other thing, and he remains like that and taking it. It's not because she has a sponsor, but we were pushing it together. You must go forward. Now she's a degree holder. Are you getting that? Because if you don't pass your O levels, you can't go forward for your education. So she passed it eventually. She's a degree holder. Over 12 years now. So if you, what you don't have is not giving you from heaven. Whatever you have is what God has given you from heaven. The ability will be given you. The capacity will be given you. The resources will be given you to make sure that it's accomplished, it's possible to accomplish it. So don't be discouraged. Press forward. If from heaven is being given to you, I mean, you're going to have it. And then come to eternal life. Eternal life is promised unto us. Because we are predestinated unto it, we are going to have it. Praise be to our God. So we talk about grace and finally perfection. And the prophet told us that Joseph was that perfection. The reason it was perfection, that the problem is that the perfection, the top of the foundation must also be a masterpiece. And what is a masterpiece? The masterpiece has a flaw. For anything to be a masterpiece in the message, it must have a flaw. And the prophet said, Joseph was perfection. What is the flaw? The prophet said, that one made him a masterpiece. He told his father that, please, when Pharaoh will ask you that what's your occupation, tell them that you are a shepherd. What did the prophet say? He said there. Let me look at it. Just search for headsman. You will get it. He used a word there. I didn't take time to retain. Sorry, we're going to close very soon. From the sermon, you can search it from masterpiece. Okay? You'll be able to get it. Or you can even search for sheep. You'll get it very easily.
Sorry, please. I just search for sheep. You get it. Oh. So let me see if I could pick it here. Okay, let me read from this, if that will solve that. Is there? All right, yes, thank you. Yeah, but when the old prophet, let's read from up. All right, Abraham portrayed Christ, of course, so did Isaac in love. Abraham did in faith. Isaac did in love. Jacob did by his grace, because Jacob means deceiver, and that's what he was, but God's grace was with him. But when it comes to Joseph, there is nothing against him. Just one little scratch. For the foundation must also be a masterpiece. When he told his father, the prophet said to Pharaoh, that your people are cattle raisers. Yes. The cattle raisers are not shepherds. Because a shepherd is an abomination to the Egyptians. But when the old prophet got before Pharaoh, he said, your servants are headmen. So it's crashing. See, that's why he still makes it the masterpiece. Now the foundation is laid through faith, love, grace, and perfection through the patriarchs. Now the body work, the prophet told us the body works are the prophets. The prophet brought the body work. The prophet in the Old Testament brought the body work. They came and lived a part of Christ. They came and displayed a part of Christ. They reflected a part of Christ. Like Joseph did, like Elisha did, like Elijah did, like Moses did, like Isaiah did. All of them, they display a part of Christ. They were not the fullness of the work, but the fullness of the work came when the time came. And John the Baptist was the last of all the prophets to come and introduce the perfection, the masterpiece, Jesus Christ, when he came. What are we talking about here? And the prophet told us that this masterpiece that he has been building all this while on the platform of faith, love, grace, and perfection was also smitten. He smote it when he saw him that he was perfect. He said, this is my beloved son in whom I am pleased to dwell in. He said, hear ye him. He will speak. And how will he speak? He struck him. And when he struck him, the prophet, when he struck him, what came out of him? The bride. And the prophet said, if the masterpiece was the word and nothing but the word, he said, what will the bride be? A piece from him. He said, the piece has to be the word. And in order for the bride to be the word, and God, right from time, has been building that. And then, on the day of Pentecost, he came again. He began to build another masterpiece. And then in the church ages, they were chopping part of it, until this last age, when God brought the fullness of the word. To be able to get the bride to be the complete word that Christ was in the beginning. And it is by that word that we are made ready today for the masterpiece when we come to come and pick a part of his masterpiece, which is the bride. The bride is being formed by the world today. The bride is not a creed. It's not a dogma. It's not human idea. It's not Bro Bram's idea. It's not Bro Bram's opinion. It's not his theology. It's not what is sat down in a corner to cunningly devise and ask some people to help him to scribble it. No. If you are an against student of the message, if you read the message, you will testify to the fact that the word that God sent to us today is perfect. Because it runs in continuity. There is no human knowledge that can be that perfect. The only thing that is that perfect is this Bible.
And the message has to be perfect to be the perfect interpretation of this Bible. And I want to tell you that nobody understands this Bible outside of the message of the hour. You can read the Bible, you are reading a story of things you don't understand. You can put your intellectual understanding to it, you can interpret it on your own, but you are digging your grave. You are walking in the way of hell. Because you are leaning onto your own understanding. Because God has sent His word to us, His own mind about what He has written. He has simplified this Bible to us in the message of the hour. So the Bible is simplified by the message of the hour for you to know what you are to do. What is expected of you. How to become a Christian. How to stand and stand for God. How to be a true witness of Jehovah. May the Lord be our help. And that is why Easter is so important to us. It is the masterpiece, the perfect masterpiece that came down to shed His life, to shed his blood when He was smitten. The reason why He was smitten was to be able to produce the bride from Him, just like God took the bride from Adam in the beginning. And just like Adam said that this is the bone of my bone and flesh of my flesh, the bride cannot be anything less than that. And so what makes you to be the bride? The Word. And the Spirit of God comes when the Word is accepted. When the Word is accepted, repentance according to the message, restitution according to the message, and then we follow the step-by-step instructions of the message after repentance, be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins. Now, if we have been waiting for the Holy Ghost baptism, which God promised unconditionally, is an unconditional promise of God. All you have to do is, you have to believe it, and you accept what is done. Follow what the instructions of the word says. And the Bible says, when you do that, then God is obligated to fulfill His promise. For healing, for deliverance, for provision, for everything. The Easter affords us the manifold blessings of God. Easter, in kato shefu wanye, gbogbo ibukun Ọlọ́run, gbogbo eni ti Ọlọ́run yi se, He has made Him, He has presented Him to us. So that we can get, we can be partakers of the full blessings of Jehovah. May the Lord be our help. Let's bow down our heads. Is anybody here this afternoon living under privileged life? We can live under privileged life when our faith is not what is supposed to be in the promises of God. As we read it, the higher your faith, the higher you rise. You can only rise according to the level of your faith. You can only rise according to the level of your faith. Praise be to God. Are you here living under privileged life? I want you to look at it. Look at your life. Jesus died for our salvation. Is the devil still buffeting you in the secret? Are you still a secret sinner? Is there a sin that so easily besets you? Why do you think Jesus came? He came, the Bible says, for this purpose was the Son of God manifested to destroy the works of the devil. The works of the devil in form of sin. The works of the devil in form of sickness, in form of affliction, in form of torment, in human body. The works of the devil in form of ignorance, the works of the devil in manipulating human mind. In making people to think that they are wiser than God.
Jesus came to destroy all that. Are you still being held by those things?
This period is the season of liberty. Jesus came to declare liberty, liberation, freedom. He has declared it since that time, and the declaration is still tangible. It's still here. It's not closed yet. The declaration that ye are free from the affliction and torment and manipulations of the devil, ye are free. From sin, ye are free. From ignorance, ye are free. From unbelief, ye are free.
Is a declaration.
Brother, sister, are you just religious? Participating in church activities? Preaching? Leading songs? Playing instruments? Being officers in the church? Being church member?
The Jubilee sign is going forth. The gospel is being declared. Won't you help yourself? Is there somebody here this afternoon who want to see the reality of Jehovah in their lives?
Now this is that season.
I don't want to be the way I used to be. I want a new experience of Jehovah in my life. I want a new experience. A tangible experience that I can hold on to. That say, God, touch me. Like that song. That you can say, it touched me. Will you signify that? I want a renewal of my faith. I want a new experience from God. And if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you want Holy Ghost baptism? Because if you are not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can't ask for more of Holy Spirit. You must have something before you ask for more of it. You must know what you are asked. If it is Holy Ghost baptism, you indicate. If it is grace to rise in faith, to enjoy the privileges that he has purchased, express yourself to God while we pray. Our blessed Father, we thank you this moment. We honor you, O Father. We appreciate it. And there be somebody, while we are in the mood of prayer, somebody that wants to be prayed for, you can rise on your feet or you raise your hand somehow. Our Lord and our God, we are grateful to you because we have been talking about you for this past 2 hours. Lord, we know we are on the battleground against the enemy. And we are confident, Lord, to face the enemy in your name, because you have defeated him. We are grateful to you for your power that cannot diminish. We thank you for the power of the gospel to set the captives free, to deliver the sinner, to make the sinner a saint by your power of transformation. We are very grateful to you. We thank you for your power to heal and to deliver from the affliction of the enemy. We thank you, Father. And we bless you for the entrance of your word, giving light and understanding to the simple. We bless you, Heavenly Father, Lord God Almighty, for the insight that your word has given us
Jehovah Father. Many are asking you for healing of their body. Many have their hands up, Lord, for Holy Ghost baptism. Many want a renewed experience with you. Many want the healing of their body. Many want the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Many are trusting you, Heavenly Father, for breakthrough. Many are trusting you, Lord, for to be delivered from ignorance. Lord, they might be able to stand and know what is right to do. Heavenly Father, whatever, Lord Almighty, are behind, Lord, the raised hand, Lord Jesus will commit to your hand that you will have your way in the lives of your people. You will confirm your word. You will grant the desires of your people in the name of Jesus Christ. Our Father in heaven, we bless you because you are the resurrected Lord. You are the living God, Lord, and you love to confirm your word. You love to prove yourself to be real to your people. When you resurrected, you proved to Cephas and his friend. When you resurrected, you proved to that to Mary Magdalene. You proved to the nine disciples in the open room. Lord, ten of them. Lord, you proved to them when Thomas was not there. And when Thomas came back, you came back again to prove to them. Heavenly Father, even to Thomas. Lord, you love to prove it. And you appear to many, 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 many until your ascension. And after your ascension, you send the Holy Spirit. You are proving yourself. You are confirming yourself. You are making yourself real. We ask, Lord, that you make yourself real to us. Lord Jesus, that you give us fresh experience. Heavenly Father, of your reality. Grant it, everlasting God. Lord Jesus, this period of Easter season, Lord God Almighty, may it not be a waste, oh God. Let it be eternal, Father, that, Lord, we will have a testimony to give, Heavenly Father, of an encounter with you in the name of Jesus Christ. Lord, you are working upon your people to make masterpieces out of your people. And the only thing I can do is your word that you have sent to us today. We pray, gracious Lord, give us grace to surrender ourselves, that your word might have free course in our lives. May we not argue with your word. May we not disbelieve your word. May you give us faith to hold on to your word until we see all that you promised fulfilled in our lives and in our midst to your glory. Thank you, Father. Lord God Almighty, we minister this moment to the sick ones in the name of Jesus Christ. Know that I'm Tepla and Father, hooking up, we minister your healing unto them from the crown of their head to the toes of their feet in the name of Jesus Christ. Let it be everlasting, Father. Take all the glory, take all the praises. We bless you, we honor you, Lord. Thank you. As we commit ourselves to your hand for tomorrow's services, may you prepare all of us. Lord Jesus, as we go home, may your presence go with us, Lord. Master Savior, prepare us for the special program of tomorrow. Give strength and grace to everybody to wait on you, and Lord, to be in the mood of prayer. We bless and appreciate you. Thank you, everlasting God. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Praise be to God. God bless you. Sorry. Let's sing this as a dismissal song. And once again, let's be reminded of the program of tomorrow fasting as we come to church. And I think we'll be told more when we come tomorrow how it will be. So, wonderful story of love.
Story of all that is to me again. glory of love.